Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rusty Quill presents.
Hey everyone, Alexi Talander here, and welcome to our bonus content as we work on putting Ostium Season 6 together. We're continuing with our Behind the Ostium series as we go in-depth with the making and discussion of how each episode of Ostium came to be, as well as much more. I am joined by Dwayne Farver, a big fan of the show and creator of the spin-off podcast Manifestations. If you enjoy the Behind the Ostium series, you can get full access to over 50 episodes right now by supporting Team Ostium on Patreon at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. You'll also get access to a bunch of other bonus content on there too. Once again, that's patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. We'll continue working on getting Ostium Season 6 ready for release in 2022, but for now, sit back and enjoy another episode of Behind the Ostium.
Okay, so let's move on to some podcasts we think of as good examples of world building. So I was thinking we should just go one off, you know, each take a turn. You want to start with your first one?
Sure. So my first one would be, I'll pick Marsfall. Because when I first started listening, It was another one of the, it's sci-fi, so I'm, all right, I'm at least going to give it a chance, you know, probably more than a chance.
Right. Mars in the title, so that's got
And Mars right. is in the title, so how could I not? So I'm listening to it, and it
and
was
then once
one
you
of
hear
those,
that theme song, you're totally hooked.
Exactly. They have really great music. Mm-hmm. The story did, it was one of those, it was, all right, I'm immediately hooked. And we still don't have a lot of information on, for all the world building they do on Mars, we don't know a lot about what really happened or is happening on Earth.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm really intrigued about what's going on Mars.
Yeah. Cause it's an interesting world building one where they kind of lay out, okay, here's what the plan is. This is what they're going to do on Mars and what we think is going to happen. And then, you know, a catastrophic event happens and everything just gets completely turned on its head and you're just like, you're just along for the ride now, not knowing what's going to happen in the next episode, whether anyone's going to come out alive, you know, what's going to happen next.
Exactly. And it's done really well.
Yeah.
You could do that setup. Here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. And then chaos. You could do that badly, but they did not. They did it really well.
And I feel like it could definitely lose a listener a lot and or a reader and confuse them by not kind of just handling it right or overdoing it in some ways or overloading with info or not giving enough info. I feel they've struck a really good balance of interesting characters, having them have a lot of conflict with each other, but also getting enough of the ongoing story to be able to follow along with no problems.
The characters are the main thing that drive the story for me, because they seem really fleshed out.
Yeah, definitely.
They have.
But yeah, the characters, they just feel really fully fleshed out. They're very, you never feel like lost, like you know who you're dealing with, even though some of them have accents. You as soon as they start talking, you know, because of previous episodes, who they are, what their history is, you know, what their sort of people they like.
And so far, none of them have behaved in an inconsistent way. They've
totally, yeah.
They are a character that it's a very real character. They're very real characters.
And I suppose now that I think about it, that's why you're still keeping with the story, where things seem really bleak and it might be so bad that you're like, why am I reading this? It's just so despairing. But because you've gotten so attached to all these characters, whether they're good or bad necessarily, you know, you want to follow them along. You want to know how they survive.
Yeah, I posted online that bad things happen to a lot of the characters, but when bad things happen to the AI, to Andy, I think that devastates me even more.
Yeah.
than because Andy is so, I don't want to say naive. He's not naive, but he's, you know, very, he seems
earnest.
You know, like
yeah.
Yeah, like someone you want to nurture and you know, protect.
And he wants everyone to survive and do well.
Yes, yeah. So that's the reason I picked Marsfall. Definitely the complexity of what's going on is you can tell it wasn't just thrown together. It was
right.
Something they thought about.
Mm-hmm. And worked with, yeah. I think it's actually also a you get the sense it's a group of them, and that when they come, and I know when they do their recording too, they have it, they do it in location in, I think it's New York, but they always want to have everyone there sort of thing as a group, so you definitely get a different feel, almost like a TV show or a movie there, where they're all recording together. If they need to make any changes, they can do it there on the spot and still have it work together as an ensemble.
I wasn't aware of that. I know some shows do that. Other shows, you know, people live in different countries around the world, so you know it's impossible to do.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it when we were at talking with them at PodCon, and they were talking about that and stuff, and just how it's been tricky and tiring and stuff. But that was their requirement, and it shows, I think, in the caliber of the show.
So, what's your first world? Your podcast.
Well, I was originally had on first on here is the Earth Collective, but I already talked about that earlier, so then I realized, well, I've got to put a new one in. But it wasn't hard, because there's so many great shows out there. So I went with Tides. They've done one season so far, and it's basically a simple story, a spaceship traveling to an alien planet, and a person gets sent down to check out what the world is like down there. What's interesting is it's a kind of oceanic planet where there's actually a big strong tide that comes in and goes out. We get everything from the point of view of the scientist who's down there on the ground making these audio recordings of what she's seeing. What I really like about it, what I feel grounds me, is I love anything sciencey and things like that. I listen to a lot of science podcasts, and the way the character relates everything is they've done the research and the detail of her explaining what these creatures are like, what the topography is like, what the geology is like, you know, what the moisture and climate and all this stuff is like in this world, that it really creates a really strong picture. And you get the sense that the character is kind of scared being here because it's a new alien world, and that this is how she's kind of dealing with it in explaining and going into detail with everything. And then she has this kind of an occasional back and forth with the spaceship orbiting the planet, and they're supposed to send down a ship to come pick her up, but there's various issues. I can't remember if it's to do with storms or just different things going on. There's one crazy point where she knows the tide is coming in, so she has to hide somewhere, otherwise she's just going to drown, and then she discovers that there's these crustacean type creatures living in under these holes in the rock, and so she sneaks into a hole there and has to share it with one, and then survives the tide coming in and then going out again, and gets out that way. So it's just a really immersive, pun intended, story that just has so many details, and being a kind of, it's the first podcast that was really, even though it was a fictional story, it felt very science oriented that I really engaged with. Have you listened to that one?
Yep, I have listened to about the first maybe 6 or 7 episodes of Tides. And I really enjoyed that episode where she had to hide in one of the creatures, one of the life forms, to protect herself.
And it's like spitting at her and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely a larger story going on there that they're hinting at, and I'm glad that it's not all thrown at us. I'm glad they're letting it out in little bits and pieces.
Yeah. And they've given a lot away, actually, in the... they've done a series of mini-episodes, too, kind of going back into how she got the job and how various members of the crew got the jobs to their various jobs. And so it's kind of interesting to build that world around a bit.
I'll have to listen to those.
Yeah, they're fun. You find out where Montague came from. Okay, so what's your next one?
I'm going to pick Star Tripper. I don't listen to many comedies, but this one is, it was right, it, again, it's sci-fi, but it's, and I won't say that it's, you know, slapstick. There's definitely a slapstick element to the humor, but they really went out of their way to make Festen a really rich character. And the world that he's in, the world that he left to start his new adventure, and just some of the craziness that, like with Apple Johnny, that I was laughing out loud in my office that episode. and then the way the season ended, I was like, this I don't want it to end. That was such an action packed episode, and I still think that. That something different is going on with the ship's AI. So, I mean, they're really building what's going on in his world, and the people that he meets and the places that he's going. It's a really rich universe to no pun intended that he's living in.
Well, it's Ian McEwan, right? Who does it? The actor?
Yeah, he's the lead.
I mean, the fact that, what he does is that character and just, he's going always, it always feels like he's going 120% when he's recording him.
Exactly. When we met him at PodCon, I don't think he's, I think that's him. I don't think he's toning it down or turning it up ever. I think that's him. And that's great. I mean, he's a great actor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Yeah, but he's also completely different from, what's his name? Agent, what's it in Bright Sessions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Agent Green is another great character that he does.
Right. He's a totally different person.
But yeah, totally different. The voice is there, but you'd know it's not the same character.
I think I just like how, they're really writing a whole show on one central character here. I mean, they meet with some other people, but it's never really consistently meeting with the other people. He has interactions with his AI too, but it's mainly just him, but he carries it so well because he's a relatable person that you can kind of see who doesn't always think first and likes to just jump wholeheartedly into stuff and take the plunge and the risk. He's that, bungee jumping guy who's not scared of anything until it's too late.
Yeah, he doesn't really consider the consequences most of the time.
Mm-hmm. All right, should I go with my next one then?
Sure, let's go on to your next one.
Okay, so next I've got Kalila Stormfire's Economical Magical Services. This was really what I remember hearing about this coming out and started to get a lot of buzz. I was really interested in it just because it was, the first kind of podcast about a witch, which I just thought, like, why hasn't this been done before? And it would surprise me that something hadn't been done. And so I was really excited about it. And Lisette Alvarez, who does the voice of the main character, and then all the writing and most of the producing now too, she does such a good job of starting out simple and creating a framework where you've got her, the main character Kalila, you know, meeting with her various customers, working with them and how she does different things. So you have this formula you're kind of following, almost like, actually quite like Dr. Bright does in the Bright Sessions, so that that way you know, oh, this is the formula for the show, this is how it's going to be, and so you're able to relate to it and be grounded by it, and then you get the strange story of the different different ones of her customers and what their kind of stories and what they're going through, what spells she needs to do and things like that. And then now she's in at least halfway through season two, and it was through the end or towards the end of season one that she started building the world more and more, and you got to see, oh, but this is actually a world where pretty much everyone acknowledges magic exists, and there's the people of Fae and all these other different things going on, there's covens and things like that, and that she's just been starting out simple and then building and building the world bigger and bigger as you're coming along for the ride, which is just it's been really fun.
That sounds really interesting, and I'm ashamed to admit that I only listened to the first episode when I saw it was on your list, and it was really interesting, and I do like what I listened to, so it's definitely on my pull list for future listening. But yeah, I didn't. I think it's not one of the ones that I've listened to in full. But now I'm really looking forward to that, to seeing the world grow.
Good. Because that could definitely be a problem you can have with some shows where they have their setup for how each episode goes. And Amelia Project does a little of this too, where you're like, okay, this is how it's going to go and stuff. And then just as you're about to think, well, if this is how it's going to go, every episode is just going to keep on going like this, that's when things change, things get bigger, and you find there's more going on. And it's usually when they add more characters and things like that, too, to make it more complex and interesting.
No, I was just thinking, there are a lot of shows that do that really well, where they, I don't want to say they've lulled us into a false sense of security of, here's the formula, here's what we're going to do, and then, you know, oh no, we're going to get bigger. But they it's a nice surprise when it happens.
I mean, that would be my one kind of critique for Welcome to Night Vale, which definitely falls under this. I mean, even more so to the point where, you know, when he says the weather, the music's going to cue, and then you've got a little end bit and to round off the episode. And I feel like there, each episode is going to be something totally new and different, and there's not even much relating necessarily to past episodes as much. Which I did bug me at first with the show because I wanted an ongoing story, but it's one thing you'd kind of just get used to, and then later on they do relate to some other things and things like that too.
That was one thing neither of us put on our list, but yeah, that's it's its own world. It's definitely grown. My next show is Girl in Space. And again, it was a sci-fi story, so I gave it a listen, and it shocked me. It wasn't the story I expected, in a good way, in a very good way.
Right.
There's so much intrigue going on in the story as to what's really going on, and then I don't think we do really know yet what's really going on. And that's good. I mean,
this is the thing. So there's only been, what is it? 12 episodes, I think?
Yeah, I think 12.
Is it that many? Yeah, and then the 13th is going to be the season one finale that she's working on. Yeah.
And, I mean, we find out somewhat slowly, but we do get a lot of information really quickly in a couple episodes that, okay, so she's not really she hasn't been abandoned on a spaceship, but she's, you know, near a star in a unknown part of, possibly unknown part of space, and her parents were on the ship with her, and it's just a very, like I said, it didn't go where I thought it was going to go. But that was, I mean, when the corporation shows up, when Caldwell shows up, and, you know, she's property, because then you find out that, you know, she is not what we thought. And it I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't listened too much, but but yeah, I mean, the thought that Sarah put into the writing there was, it's evident. I mean, the characters and the reveals, the episodes give you a good, there's usually at least one, possibly two or more, in some, where there's a really good reveal, where you get something and you're like, oh, that's weird. That's not.
That's changed all my thoughts about it. Now I have to go back to the drawing board and reassess. And
now I've got to change the yarn on my board. You know, it's not connecting this line anymore.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm patiently waiting for the season finale.
And of course, when that's just about ready to come out, I'm going to have to go back and marathon all the previous episodes so I'm all fresh in my head again. What's going on?
I'll probably do the same.
Okay, so my next one is Archive 81. That was a really interesting show that's kind of more in the horror slash sci-fi vein. It's branded mainly as horror, but there's definitely some sci-fi elements, especially in the season two, and I think they're to the third season now, because I lose track. And it starts out with this guy getting a strange job to work in this warehouse where he has to follow these strange rules about being really quiet and listening to these thousands and thousands of tapes and kind of cataloging them. And there are all these strange stories about different places and different histories and different things going on. And I'm trying to remember, the first season was about a particular building where there's some strange kind of supernatural slash magical events going on, and different people doing recordings of what it's like there. There's actually a reporter who's interviewing these people, so there's different tapes, but they're all out of order, so you're not getting anything necessarily chronological. But again, like what we've talked about with the other shows, you have the formula where the guy's sitting down and listening to these tapes, and then you're kind of getting a story within a story that in itself is really moving and kind of compelling. And then you've got the overall story of the guy listening to it and wondering, what the hell have I gotten into here? Who are these people? What is really going on? And then because he's in a warehouse on his own, he's kind of dealing with his own weirdness there. He befriends a rat because it's the only other living thing that's there. And then at the end of season one, you find out there's something bigger, much, much bigger going on with this whole thing. And at first I wasn't sure what it was, and I wasn't too happy with, because it's kind of a twist ending that didn't really make much sense to me, so I kind of gave up on it at that point. And then after everyone said, oh, it gets so good later on too, so I went back to it, re-listened to it, and pushed through, and then I got totally hooked on season two, where it goes on a kind of totally different news storyline, and not with this character, but it uses the same framework sort of again of this magical world, but also using tapes and music as an important kind of facet of the world that runs throughout. So that's what's really been interesting though, that is that it's felt totally fresh and different, but because you've gotten this set up from the beginning, you're not lost by it, if that makes sense.
No, that does. I've listened to the first, I'm gonna say, three or four episodes, and I'm terrible with that. I'll binge a couple episodes, and I've really liked what I listened to, because I do remember the story, like he was in a warehouse, and I believe he was listening to actual physical tape. It wasn't like digital files.
Yes, that
was
physical tape. Yes.
And the
sound design with the show is incredible too. It's such detail and everything, so you're really like, it's very tactile, practically, with how everything's going.
And that's probably why I remember that. It was the sounds of the tape machine. Mm-hmm. And I remember the story about the building, and that I believe something weird in the warehouse happened in one of the episodes, like where he was at. And then something.
There was a strange like sound going on.
And then I for whatever reason it's still on my podcatcher, and the next three episodes are all queued up, ready for me to listen. And so now I got it. Now I have to get back because now what you just said is got me intrigued, because it is the type of story that I definitely like. I you know, if it's sci-fi or if it's weird supernatural horror, it's something.
I don't know if you've read much Clive Barker. That's what it kind of reminds me of. It's a very, like, not your predictable type of horror at all. It's very...
Well, now I definitely have to go back. Yeah, I love
Clive. Plus, also, season 3 has Christa De Mercurio as a main character. So, there you go.
Yeah, I love Clive Barker. So, definitely have to go back to that one.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.